Giants fans, let's go! We told you we were going to be having a lot of content coming out, and we just could not wait. There's a lot to talk about. Free agency recap coming down the line. Draft all April. But right now, the boys had to talk to you. This is Monday? It is a Monday. That's right. It's March 22nd. The Giants have signed Kenny Golladay since we last talked to you. And just a few hours ago, the Giants have completed the signing for Adoree Jackson, hopefully locking up CB2. Boys, we got some weapons on both sides of the ball. How you feeling?
I'm feeling fantastic right now. Dave Gettleman got it done. Regardless of what you think of him, he did get it done this offseason, last offseason. He did get his batting average up. He was slow to strike, but when he did, they were significant, well thought out, calculated. Him and Kevin Abrams for doing the salary cap magic should get a medal.
What else is there to say besides that there, right? Well said, disciple. You know, and how about the New York Giants players getting involved and help recruiting, you know? Logan Ryan doing his job, having dinner with Adoree Jackson, helped seal the deal last night. Like, let's fucking go, baby.
Flying up from Florida last minute, too. The closer.
Oh, the Florida man, closer.
So I guess chronologically we should talk about Golladay first, although on our last episode we talked a lot about the reasons we were excited, and I think at that point we were pretty much anticipating the signing. The Adoree Jackson one is the one that's really sort of out of left field, or was pretty much just rumor last time we talked. So who do you want to crack into more, or maybe the better question is, who are you more excited about, fellas?
Ooh, honestly, I'd have to say Kenny G, just because that's where we were really lacking most, is having that number one option that you can count on to convert a third and 11 if you need it. You know what I mean? I was never confident on any third down conversion going into this year. I mean, last year. And like, all we had was Tate, Shepard. You know what I mean? And they're all the same kind of receiver, but they're not the main guy, so... Kenny Golladay completely turns this offense around. That's where the attention's going. That's where the cornerback one's going. Darius Slayton's now going up against the second quarterback instead of the starter. You got Saquon Barkley coming back. I don't know, man. I think they're going to be at least give me top 15 offense if you're investing these kind of tools.
Resources. That would be a meteoric rise from 31st. Mm. Berger, break down the contract details for me. How are we feeling about this? Overpaid, the right choice. Obviously, we're excited about the talent and all the conversations we've had about hopefully a guy like Golladay providing the weapon that, you know, what Josh Allen had with Stephon Diggs. But talk to me about hard details. Was this the right move?
Well, like we talked about on the last pod, I was saying, like, you're going to have to pay around $18 and $20 million to get this guy. And the guy got $18 million a year. And he's this type of game changer. You got to pay up for it. I know, obviously, the health issues are always a concern, maybe a red flag. But I think they had him in New York for 3 days straight, and they were doing a lot of physicals and tests with him. So I guess, like, nothing scared them or... raise any concerns, because obviously they gave him a big deal and probably one of the highest free agent signings of this offseason. But after year three, the dead cap hits 10.2, and then after year four, it's 6.8. So it's really front loaded with, you know, if they do need to go a different round in case he gets hurt, if you know what I mean. But I like the signing, man. Are you kidding me? He's a big ass receiver. Now Daniel Jones can throw, dude, he can throw it off and he can go get it. We don't have a receiver like that. I think we missed that with Akeem Nicks. We missed that with Plaxico Burress. We haven't had it in God knows how long. Like, if Danny can identify that 101, just toss it up for him. Let's see what happens. We haven't had that in forever. But I do like the Adoree Jackson signing, because I think they have so much more options at the 11 pick now. Like, they can go take a receiver still if they want it. How crazy is that sound?
Yeah, it's...
it's opened up a lot of options.
I'd love Slater. I would love a lot of... They can't really go wrong. I'd love Micah Parsons. I'm like, dude.
I hate to say it, but Mac might be right on this one, that they could actually realistically take an offensive lineman now at 11. Yeah, I saw him just perk up with excitement.
Let's go!
That USC guy.
Three shots later, yes! Boom, encouragement! Yes.
I love Slater at 11. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't think he's going to make it, man. Like you say, the Cowboys might just take him.
You know, I don't want to step on the next couple of weeks of content we're going to be coming out with here, but I think, and I put an asterisk here, and, you know, we are self-serving, but I will give kudos where it is due. The Giants Insider, both the newspaper and the podcast, excellent content. If you're a Giants fan listening to us, you should be listening to them. And their main guy was on the record saying, like, there is no draft pick that could make him upset. And I'm inclined to agree with him, obviously outside of, you know, some absurdist shit that happens. But in the ability, I am nervous about a guy like Gregory Rousseau or Kwity Paye. But the Giants could double, triple, whatever you want to say, down on skill position, go Pitts or one of the receivers, and I wouldn't be upset about it. They could go Micah Parsons. They could go an offensive lineman. These two signings give the Giants the utmost flexibility with the draft that they've had in years. Like, there is no need to focus on a need. They can truly go best player available, trade back, do whatever, and I'm going to be pretty happy. I don't know.
Can we also just say how deep the secondary just got with this signing as well? Now that Isaac Yiadom turns into cornerback 3 along with Julian Love, or that way, and Darnay Holmes still handles the slot with our 3 safeties, they are incredibly deep.
So, Berger, let's circle back on that in one moment and break down the Adoree Jackson situation in its entirety. One last comment on Golladay. So the guy's 28. 17 mil signing bonus, 40 million guaranteed. As you alluded to, Berger, a lot of that is in the first 2 years. Nobody would be happy with a $10.2 million dead cap hit, but I mean, that's whatever the cap is going to be for the NFL 3 years from now. So worst case scenario, and this doesn't look great, we are looking to get out of this in 2 years, and that just so conveniently lines up in the years we need to pay Saquon and Daniel Jones and all of these other deals that Gettleman has been signing are going to be up for a renewal, whether we want to re-sign them or use the money elsewhere. So super excited. And I think you mentioned, not only does Golladay give Daniel Jones a safety blanket, but think about it. This will be the first time that the Giants have had a core of players where they're playing the roles they're designed for. Like, how can you stack the box against Saquon Barkley when you have a big target like Golladay on the outside? Like, how can you stack the box against Barkley when you have a combination of Darius Slayton and John Ross on the outside? Slayton, Kyle Rudolph, Evan Engram, God bless his slippery hands, operating the middle. Like, this... I don't know. There's so many looks. I'm so I'm very excited.
Yeah, and really, like, I feel like Jason Garrett went out of his way to get Kyle Rudolph, and that's gonna be like the Jason Witten role in this offense too. Don't sleep on that.
That would be a lovely thing, even though Jason Witten's a cocksucker. Sorry.
This is an all-time Giants killer.
I know, it's the worst.
I'm interested to see what if Evan Engram sees the benefit when he's not being demanded to do something he clearly can do. Like, in a two tight end set, he's not going to be the first guy right off the hip of the tackle being asked to block guys like Bud Dupree. So will he have more clear mind when he can focus on being that Giants vertical threat? Because Kyle Rudolph and Caden Smith, some combination, are going to be doing the dirty work, right?
It's got to be that way.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, Evan Engram is not entrusted to block ever again.
You know what he needs? He needs to go on like a 5-week sabbatical in some like Pacific Island. Get your head straight. Get your head clear. The problems are all mental, man. I'm telling you, he needs to go on a retreat or something.
Dude, I don't know, man. Dude, there's so many options. They can even trade him, dude. I don't even think there's such a good chance he doesn't even make this team. Like, let's be honest. Like, Kyle Rudolph does open the door for other moves as well. Like, we can take Kyle Pitts, see Evan Engram. Let's restart with someone who's even better.
Oh man, now like I'm starting to get excited, and I haven't felt this way in a while. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is
the mock drafts are flying like great. Crazy now.
The mock drafts are flying. I'm loving it. I can't wait. I am getting started on my draft document now that we are just like pretty much through free agency. I don't think there's going to be any other moves like crazy like this. This is probably the last.
You say that, and the rumor mill is already circulating with what's his name?
Jadeveon Clowney?
Jadeveon Clowney. So, okay. All right.
Oh, my goodness.
I would have said, but hold on. Case in point, I would have said a few days ago that the Giants free agents were done, and then they go ahead and sign Adoree Jackson. So let's crack into that. Who's got the deets on the contract? How much are we paying this kid? And I mean kid. He's 25 years old.
I believe it was 3 for $39 million. Do you know the guaranteed, Disciple?
26.5.
Oh, but it was pretty much just a two-year deal, I believe, with all the guarantees in the first 2 years, just like we said about that Galladay deal almost.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, this is a smart deal for both.
And not only that, he's got a ton of upside. Yeah, he's getting.
Well, he was a star at USC, and I believe he's a kick returner and punt returner whiz, which the Giants desperately need.
Yeah, honestly, I don't want him anywhere near returning kicks. Fuck that.
Well, I could easily draft a running back for that this year.
I'm going to be interested to see what Big Mac has to say about the injury issue here with the knee. It seems to be very. Just referred to as a quote-unquote knee injury for the last few games. And here's an interesting statistic. So, and we'll get to the positive, but let's set the floor right now. In 2020, in the few games he played, which I believe was three, perhaps the last two regular season and the playoff game, we can check that. But he had a 15.87 PFF grade, 66.8 coverage grade. That was a career low, and he had never before been below 73.0, okay? You with me so far, fellas? Yep. So before this year, never had below a 73.0. For comparison, James Bradberry, our bull, prior to signing a contract with the Giants, had never had over a 70 PFF signing or grading, excuse me. Yadam had a 56.8, Love had 55.2, and Madre Harper and Ryan Lewis coming in at 49.1 and 41.2, respectively. Damn. That's the floor that we're talking about with this 25-year-old.
Jesus. Oh, just because of so many looks.
Yeah, man.
CB, honestly, we found Batman, so, boys.
Last year the Giants' real strength was the defensive line, but I feel like the secondary has totally surpassed it, even with the return of Leonard Williams.
Say Robin, and not Batman.
Dalvin left, but you still got Dex. But it's still not the secondary, dude. The secondary is crazy right now.
It's insanely stacked. It's so stacked.
But New Jersey Star Ledger ran an article with the title, "Do the Giants have the best secondary in the NFL?" Question mark? Like, I don't want to be a homer. And
that's insane, dude.
But the fact that that's even a possibility, the fact that that's a question, it, like, what, Giant? What do you want, after, Giants fans? Like, this is what we're doing.
After the fucking Betcher years, bro, like, this is what we get. The worst pass defense in the league to an elite overall defense. We could be top five overall, man. Like, oh, wow.
I mean, the Giants were ninth in points per game. And with all due respect to Dalvin Tomlinson, his production as a part-time run stuffer can be replaced. The idea that we just gave Robin to that Batman man and James Bradberry is only going to make everything on this team better. And Xavier McKinney essentially was not on the team last year.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, man. Oh, the depth.
You guys are super excited. Oh, my God. Yeah, cool. No, like, well, fine, dude. Then I'll just fucking keep going because I'm jacked up. No, fuck you. You lost your moment. Now it's me. Like, fuck you. All right. Adoree Jackson. I would have been happy with a one-year deal, but the Giants have been consistently signing younger guys on 2 to 3 year deals. So if they work out, great, we can sign them and keep them. If they don't, the Giants have cap space in the next 2 to 3 years to do whatever they want. But this kid, he's a former track star, 4.39 40 yard dash at the combine. And he missed, yes, 14 games last year. But prior to that, the Pro Football Focus, and we've discussed the myriad of ways whether PFF is good or bad, but let's use it as a baseline here. Since 2018, they have graded Adoree Jackson number 4 in the NFL on coverage of players that have lined on the outside. The names he's behind: Jaire Alexander, Richard Sherman, and Stephon Gilmore. Like, this dude is a stud. You don't think that the Giants' 25th rated third down efficiency is going to jump up when the second guy allows us to actually do some different coverage than just soft zone the entire time? Like, I don't know how you guys aren't losing your fucking minds, because I am jacked up right now.
Yeah, this was really like the two missing pieces on this defense was CB2 and legitimate edge rusher. They finally got their CB2.
You could argue middle linebacker as well. I kind of like the Reggie Ragland signing. That could be a hit.
Oh, I do too.
But they definitely need to address the edge now. This just it opens up so many avenues, boys. Not saying Jadeveon Clowney is one of them. That should never happen.
Well, I mean, I think interior offensive line is still a need right now.
Well, were you just messaging us before that we are front runners for Trey Turner or a possible suitor? Trey Turner? A
possible suitor for Trey Turner.
I think Sean was coming in from the ether with that little nuggets.
Oh, it was him. Oh, yes, yes. Yeah.
That's, if they get that done, like, dude, what? I was not expecting a crazy offseason really at all. I feel like Kenny Galladay for me was like, I was like hopeful, but I wasn't getting my hopes up. And then they get Galladay. They get Jackson. They get Kyle Rudolph. Like, dude, what the fuck? I was not expecting this kind of offseason, honestly. It's because they started so slow, too. That's really how they set the tone for us. Like, those first couple days were a little slow.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there, Disciple. When he wasn't making any moves and had a celebrity structure to Leonard Williams, I was like, well, this offseason is going to suck.
Let it be a lesson. Let it be a lesson, though. Like, how that feels in the moment versus what's down waiting down the road. You know what I mean?
Nah.
Like the perspective, like how you know, because people say some emotional shit on like social media about the Giants.
All right, how about
let that be a lesson. Let that be a lesson right now too, because I'm gonna tell you, in the next couple of weeks, you're going to hear some really positive thoughts from me. I'm starting to lose it a little bit with the positivity, which is awful, because you just know that means I'm going to be hurt so much more. It's like getting really invested in like, oh, I'm in love and I'm going to tell her how I feel. And it's just going to attack your soul. But, you know, I won't project my pessimism. Point being is that the next couple of weeks, there's going to be a lot of positivity, and we have all, quote, win the offseason and be complete dog shit when you actually have to play the games. Injuries can happen, whatever. But for the moment, let's get excited. Let's get excited, guys.
Let's enjoy this shit, man, because it's been a fucking long time. Too long. Finally, like, we're chasing relevance. We're getting there. We might be on the verge of some legitimate competition, boys.
I mean, like, what else can you say? I mean, we have been talking really since even before the year started that the two biggest needs for the Giants were a number one receiver, more cornerback depth, I guess, after Beal opted out, and Baker, excuse me. Everything happened with him. I think now the Giants need to address the offensive line and continue to fill in the front seven in the draft with the first three picks. You know how I feel about the offensive line. I'd be totally fine with all three of our first draft picks being O-line. But I don't know. Guys, I'm just, it's a happy day to be a Giants fan. I don't know what else to say about that.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I don't know what else.
All right, wait. How about I pose one more question to both of you. Both players, grade them. What are you giving them? with the contract, the terms, the years, all this, what do you think these moves were, the grade wise? What do you got?
From like from the GM perspective, like what am I giving a grade on the deal from Gettleman's perspective,
yeah,
if you will? Disciple.
I'm giving them an A, dude. They somehow got it all done. That blew my expectations away.
I'm going to go with a B and then an A plus, personally. I think Galladay was a need, and I do think he's going to make us, he's going to make me an honest man with that contract. But there are bigger risks there, and the free agent wide receiver market was so depressed that I think we could, the Giants could have gone a different route. But it's still a solid B, and I might be being negative about it.
Yeah, you're completely are. Negative Nancy.
Dude, but the Dory Jackson, it's an A-plus across the board. Huge need, gives you draft flexibility, biggest hole on a top, you know, a top defense. He's young at 25. You can get out after 2 years. I mean, I'm not sure there's a single thing I dislike about the Adoree Jackson signing. And he came back and started playing games at the end of last year. There doesn't seem to be a lot of buzz about the knee. So I'm going with a solid B and a fantastic A+.
Oh, and one more thing. I'm so happy Jackson fucking didn't even consider visiting Philadelphia, baby. Did not leave the property.
Oh, you dirty birds.
Fuck out of here. I'm so happy that all the karmic rebalance happening amongst the football gods right now. I'm fucking loving it. Let's fucking go, Giants. Fuck you, Doug Peterson. Fuck you, Howie Roseman. Let's do this.
Burger, what do you got for us, baby?
Damn, he's right there, but I don't know. Shit, that's hard to follow up. I'll give it. I like your grade with the B on Galladay. I think the market was very down, and he got paid like he was already on the franchise tag with that money. It's definitely a lot, but it's high risk, high reward. And Jackson, I don't know too much about him. I mean, it's the injuries that kind of scares me, but he's 25 and a former top 20 pick. Like, dude, that's a steal. And the Giants need more young, talented players, and he seems. Like, he's got the goods, man, for CB2, so I'm very excited to see what he can do. And if he does anything in special teams, like, that's a huge plus, too.
All right, Giants fans, we're about to get out of here. What I encourage you to do is take this moment to enjoy it. There hasn't been a lot of reason for clear optimism in the last few years. Today is one of those days. And regardless of how you feel about Gettleman, enjoy today. We'll talk more in the coming weeks about Joe Judge's influence on this and some of the culture changes that are clearly happening. Enjoying the next few days of the national coverage of the Giants. My God, it does feel good for them to have to say something positive about the Giants for once. And with this, I'll leave you with a moment of Zen. Again, if you're not familiar, I'm clearly stealing this from Jon Stewart. But Logan Ryan talked a lot about last year, being super excited about being sort of the ambassador for the Giants and being a recruiter. I'm not going to lie to you. I laughed at that. I thought that was funny and silly. But let's look at Adoree Jackson, quote unquote. When I came in, Ryan is one of those guys I leaned on a lot to help me out. I told him I appreciate him more than he knows. He was there for me. The big brother that you need. Logan Ryan, making his value known on and off the field. Big Blue All Year fans, get fucking excited. Shaman, take us out, baby.
All right, Giants fans, don't forget to rate and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on all social media platforms at Big Blue All Year. I just got one thing to say. I don't know how this guy didn't mention it, but the Giants overnight became the one of the best Madden teams in the game. I just want to throw that out there.